The following is a presentation of the Pro Wrestling Report, TV and radio. Informative, entertaining, and real since 1998.
We're talking an abbreviated WCW Monday Night Show for April 28th, 1997. Damn you, Charlotte Hornets and New York Knicks. Along with the man they call me, Dad, that's what they're calling me. It's the man they call Matthew Thomas. Good evening, Matthew Thomas.
Good evening, the man they call Meat. See, I'm going to call you Meat instead of Meathead because this is abbreviated, so we're abbreviating everything.
Okay, I'm going to call you the man they call Thomas. Wait, that doesn't work. The man they call Matthew.
I like it.
Or is it Leslie? Because your middle name's Leslie, right? Matthew Leslie
Thomas. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, fair enough. I mean, Matthew Leslie Thomas, what a great name, and what a great way to start off a Nitro Reaction that is starting at 6 Central, ladies and gentlemen, an hour earlier and an hour short. You know what? The NBA said, excuse us, we've got bigger basketballs. See what I did there? We've got bigger balls here. WCW Nitro, you're going to have to move out of the way. You think what we do with the Westminster dog show over on USA is big. Watch what we do with basketball to wrestling. Well, WCW Monday Nitro is still live and still, you know, I wonder what they're doing for a live audience because they're not going there for an hour show.
Right.
So do they have hot matches beforehand or do they do, you know, hot matches after? Like, you know, at the end of the show, do you still have an hour and a half to 2 hours of wrestling going on?
You think you'd put it on the back end to keep people excited?
Well,
TV,
if you think about it,
the
show is
6
Central on a Monday.
Right.
So it's on the back end. It's got to be on the back end.
Yep.
Kind of like results of these matches. Just kidding. Let's talk and let's run down real quick what we had happen tonight on a one-hour edition of Monday Nitro. It starts off kind of hot. To keep people interested and to keep people tuning in, they open up with video package of Flair beating up on Vader from Starrcade 93 and Tony Schiavone doing the voiceover about how he's retired big man before, sent them walking away with their dignity being stripped. Tonight, Ric Flair returns to action. Now, they promised us Ric Flair returning to action. I'm going to spoil it at the end. Ric Flair returned to some kind of action. I mean, there was stuff, but he didn't have a match tonight, folks. But Ric Flair returns, and they open the show tonight with Ric Flair and Roddy Piper starting off. Did it twice tonight, and I've got a problem with this. I understand it's an hour show, so they didn't feel like going down to the ring and went to the announce table. This is 1997, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is a national broadcasting company who is a television production company. If you're going to have live cameras on the announce table, don't you think you'd light it a little better? I mean, you want to talk about two talents being in the mud, as they say in the business. Piper and Flair. And Flair, somebody didn't tell Flair to get out from behind the announce table while Piper's talking and get up to the camera. Flair had to be nudged. Dude, you're supposed to be up there. Go up there. Piper's talking. Get up there. They looked terrible. Yeah. I love the thoughts. I love the promo, but you couldn't see them. Matthew, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I had my hopes high for a one-hour edition of Nitro. I thought, you know, okay, you're going to more of a Raw format, and you can kind of help some of the issues that you've been having with the really diluted roster. And this show I thought was a train wreck, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, Piper and Flair challenging Nash and Hall to a match tonight. You know, why wait till Slamboree? Let's get it done tonight. But our first match was Dean Malenko defeating Prince Iaukea with the Texas Cloverleaf and retaining his WCW United States Championship. Inside this match, you also got a challenge from Jeff Jarrett for Slamboree for that U.S. title. Do you think the match will be made, for one, for Malenko? And two, Malenko at the end, you know, where they do that camera zooms in on the winner after the pinfall and they let him talk into the camera. Malenko said, anybody else? Come on in. Do you think that he accepts Jeff Jarrett for Slamboree?
Yeah, I think so. But I wish WCW would do a little bit better job of booking their pay-per-view matches, because very often this is how it happens, or we find out the week before. This is going to be the match. They don't, again, they did a good job last week, but, you know, give me a little bit of a story about somebody vying for that title. Give me Jarrett coming out there and doing it in person, or give me a little bit of a feud with him and Malenko. WCW just all too often throws these middle card matches together so quick before pay-per-view without really any storyline, and there's really no storyline here other than Jeff Jarrett popping up in a little box.
Yeah, pretty much, and that was the storyline. Not at ringside, but in a little box. Jarrett in a box. Let's talk about Six defeating Juventud Guerrero with the Buzzkiller. For all the shenanigans that you've seen Six do and the running around, and, you know, he's the greasy little punk, Six can wrestle. And they put
absolutely
over Six in the match. They put him over the match. You heard Larry Zbyszko say, you know, strip away all this, you know, help this way and that way. Don't leave this guy alone. He can go and win his own matches.
Yeah, and I mean, how good of a high-flying technical wrestler was the 1-2-3 kid? A lot of times I forget we're watching the same person just the way he's presented, but you got a little glimpse of that tonight.
Yeah, that looked like 1-2-3 kid tonight, and he wins.
Yep.
Little floppiness from Hoovy, but, you know, it's 1 hour. I know they already paid or cashed the check from 1-800-COLLECT, so they've got to put Leon. So in the 1 hour, we're going to get a road report from Lakeland, Florida. It's a Nitro party near Jerry's, and everybody is looking forward to Nitro. At least this time we didn't have to hear Bobby's, and they're always better, but Bobby's attempts to come back at Lee Marshall. This has just got to stop. I understand 1-800-COLLECT has paid for the spot, and they've got to come up with a better way to do something about it.
This is not fun.
We go back to the arena. Here comes the NWO music, now unannounced, or unannounced. Yeah, or unannounced, either way. And here comes Hall, here comes Nash, and Six, just fresh off his match. They go to the announce table. There goes Tony, there goes Bobby, and there goes Larry. By the way, is this the first time we've actually seen the team of Schiavone, Heenan, and Zbyszko, three-man commentary team?
You might be right.
What did you think of the combination of Schiavone, Heenan, Zbyszko?
I thought it was okay. I didn't mind it.
Was it technically two heels and a face? So you've got, you know, Schiavone who's a straight man.
Yeah, that's where it got a little bit weird. I mean, Zbyszko kind of rides that line. You know, he's not, I wouldn't say he's Bobby Heenan level heel. He's a little bit snarky, but he's not full blown heel. So you kind of got him in the middle of a heel, a face, and then Zbyszko.
Okay, so the key part is Hall and Nash come out and go, see, you want to battle us? Whatever. I tell you what, we'll go ahead and we'll have that match in Charlotte, but we want 75% of the gate, because when you have the best in the biz, we don't come cheap. We miss you, Hollywood. Love and kisses. NWO for life. This Hall and Nash character, you know, bringing the, you know, the business out from behind the curtain out to the front, making it very, very detailed.
Yeah.
They want to get more of the gate, making it like boxing, because, you know, boxing matches,
yeah,
it doesn't matter who wins or loses. I mean, it's pre-contract who's going to get what percentage of the gate.
Right.
Your thoughts?
It was interesting. I mean, it kind of fits the NWO persona, but again, I mean, you knew you were going to get this match regardless, so it's not like, again, not like you were on the edge of your seat. Are they going to sign? Yada yada yada. So I mean, it was logical.
Right.
It was logical storyline development here.
But also, again, in the mud, the lighting absolutely terrible. They didn't do it once; they did it twice. They went to the commentary booth with the guys there. Following announcement was paid for by the New World Order. Nice little promo with the Macho Man and Randy Savage and Elizabeth. Yeah, the madness has gotten out of control. I tell you what, Paige, you're not a man. You can't control your wife. Your wife's been looking at me, and every time she comes, she's going to feel the madness. Yeah. How is Liz being presented? Is she into threesomes, or is Liz being presented as somebody who's just hanging out with Macho and is okay with whoever Macho sleeps with?
I don't know, but it's an interesting place for my mind to wander.
But what did you think of Macho and his words? You know, and it was. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I thought Macho sounded great on the microphone tonight.
And I think it hits on many levels too, because it just makes him all the more heel. He's antagonizing this guy and his wife while his interest, if you will, is standing right there. It just paints him, and you know, it's just trying to push all kinds of buttons. And I kind of like it.
Yeah,
is she the Marlena of WCW right now?
Maybe. I'm not quite sure, though, but I'll tell you what, Kimberly's been dreaming about the Macho Man, and I'm going to show you that I have class with a capital K. Yeah. Class with a capital K coming from the Macho Man. Tag team action, Lex Luger and the Giant defeating the amazing French Canadians when the Giant pinned Jacques Rougeau with the Chokeland Slam. I try to put a little accent on it, a little French-Canadian accent, a little stink, a little au jus, if you will. There was a point in the match where the Rougeaus had control of the match and had Luger outside the ring, but too much goofing around, too much not really, you know, trying to beat the guys, and here comes Luger, here comes Giant. I thought they looked strong coming out of this match. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, this was pretty well known going in who was going to be the victor, but yeah, they look good, and they did a decent job of kind of at least making the other team, you know, look strong for a few moments.
This whole night, if you said it was a cluster, the one thing you can take from it is that they were building towards Slamboree. Everything had Slamboree implications, so there was business being done. And we come back, and the biggest rivalry in football is going to come to the ring at Slamboree. I don't like the billing. Because, again, if Reggie White were, let's say, an offensive lineman, and then Steve Mongo McMichael were the defensive lineman, it would be something. Because they would have gone and butted heads ahead.
Right.
Both of them are defensive ends, or defensive linemen. They never met each other on the field. They might have played for Green Bay and Chicago. But their match is coming up at Slamboree, and you know, Mongo picks up a win, gaining momentum for the match with Reggie White at Slamboree.
Yeah, it's Mongo.
Well, maybe they could wrestle for Pepe.
Maybe so. Anytime you bookmark a show with a big Mongo win, count me out.
So,
but let's look on the bright side. Did we see Kevin Green tonight?
You did not, but we heard talk of Kevin.
Well, there's
Green.
Your bright side.
Back from commercial, here comes Piper and Flair heading to the ring. Flair still in his street clothes, and they're talking like the match is going to happen. They also remind us next week that Nitro will air at 7 Eastern once again with a one-hour Nitro. Now, they're waiting. Here comes the music. Everybody's looking up. Are they looking for Sting? No. What they've done is, and I don't know if you know, the amount of paper, I did some research, the amount of paper dropped from the rafters tonight on the ring and on everybody else, there was only two bald spots in the ring, and it was where the wrestlers were standing. The rest of the ring was covered, the entire building covered with flyers that said, Tradition Bites, NWO for life. I looked this up. Do you know that they had to clear the Sahara Forest to actually make all that paper? All the trees are gone. They literally cleared out the Sahara Forest, and now it's the Sahara Desert.
Of course they did. Of course they did. Way to waste paper and destroy the planet right there, NWO.
Yeah, NWO destroying the planet. The final of this segment and what took us to the end of the show was Flair going out there, talking to Hall, Nash, and Six. Six, you know, obviously is getting some heat with Flair. Flair said he can beat Six. Flair runs down to the ring. What is Piper focused on? This was made very clear to us that Piper was just off in the clouds and waited a good 4 minutes to go down and go help out Flair, who's getting 3-on-1. What is the deal? And, you know, they zoomed in on Flair's face. Piper! Piper! Explain it to me. I don't get it.
Again, the less – I think Piper's one of those deals, the less you see of him, the better. When you're seeing him every week, these things just don't tend to make sense, and he kind of goes off more on a tangent and Piper, again, the craziness, when you see it every 3 to 4 weeks, it's refreshing, but then when you see it every week, it's like, what's this guy talking about? What's he doing? Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay, so that was our 1 hour reaction to, well, our 15-minute reaction to the 1 hour Nitro. Folks, that was it. That's all we got, a very short edition tonight. We will come back next week, and we will break it down and react again for you. So for Matthew Thomas, you're talking to the man they call Meathead. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next week. So long, guys.